In the beginning of the month of Chodesh Av, and as we know, at the beginning of every month, there is a halacha that we're supposed to do Kiddush Levana. So there's a big discussion as to when the appropriate time to do Kiddush Levana is in the month of Av. The Rama writes in Arachayim, Hilchas Rosh Chodesh, Siman Tavcha Vav, Eim Nekachin Es HaLevana Kodem Tisha B'Av, we have the practice not to do the Kiddush Levana before Tisha B'Av, V'lo Kodem Yom Kippurim, and the same applies at the other end of the year, that we should not recite Kiddush Levana before Yom Kippur. Now, why is this the case? The Magen Avraham explains, because before Tisha B'Av, we're not in a festive, we're not in a jovial mood. Everybody's down about the Churban, or at least everybody's supposed to be feeling down about the Churban, and therefore we assume that it would be inappropriate for us to recite Kiddush Levana at a time when we're in that frame of mind, when we are in that kind of mood. And similarly, we find in Shulchan Aruch that a person who is Bimei Evlo, somebody who is in a private state of mourning, somebody who is sitting Shiva, also should wait until after the Shiva is completed for them to recite the Kiddush Levana. Obviously, if they're going to run out of time, and let's say it's in the winter months, and it's something that it's cloudy sometimes, and it's snowy sometimes, and you're afraid maybe you're going to run out of time, obviously then allowed to go ahead and do the Kiddush Levana regardless. And then there's a discussion, should you go outside, or should you do it from inside of the house? Separate discussion. However, it's a similar idea that l'chatchila, one should not recite Kiddush Levana at a time when they are not in the greatest frame of mind. Now the question is, why exactly is that the case? And we'll see in a minute what the answer to that is. The Vilna Gaon disagrees with this Rama. The Vilna Gaon writes in the Maaser Rav that I think it's a mistake. Yes, it's true you're not in the greatest of moods at the time of Chodesh Av. Yes, it's true you're preparing yourself for Tisha B'Av and you're in the middle of the 9 days. You're not in a jovial mood. But after all, he says, Shihu mitzvah lo mashinan. We don't just wait around. When we have an opportunity to perform a mitzvah that's in front of us, we don't wait around, even though you have all kinds of reasons why you want to wait, but we don't wait. And therefore he writes that he thinks the proper practice is mitzvah baliyadcha al tachmitzena, don't wait around. Do it right away when you have the opportunity to recite the Kiddush Levana, and do not wait until after Tisha B'Av to do so. So this is a big discussion, a major machlokas. Some follow the Rama, and some follow the minhag of the Vilna Gaon. I saw that the Stipler and the Herb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach followed the minhag of the Vilna Gaon, which is surprising, because I think most of our communities follow the Rama, that we wait until after Tisha B'Av. Either way, Herb Shlomo Zalman points out that even if you follow the minhag, even if you follow the practice of the Vilna Gaon, not to recite Kiddush Levana, I'm sorry, not to wait, but to rather recite Kiddush Levana right away, he says he still thinks it would be a little bit inappropriate for us to dance regularly, dance by a Kiddush Levana throughout the year. Even if you're going to say Kiddush Levana, leave it to the bare minimum, don't go ahead and do the dancing after Kiddush Levana. So why does the Rama feel that it's so important that we have to be in the right frame of mind, in a state of simcha, in order to recite Kiddush Levana? What's so unique about Kiddush Levana? Why does Kiddush Levana require a frame of mind of simcha? What's wrong that just because before Tisha B'Av we have a depressing kind of mood, why should that preclude us from reciting Kiddush Levana? So I think the answer is based on the Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara tells us that we have an opportunity once a month to have a Kabbalas Pnei Hashchina. El Malei Dozecha Yisrael El Hakvil Pnei Avinim Shebashamayim Pamachas B'Chodesh. We assume that once a month we have an opportunity by Kiddush Levana to actually have a conversation face to face with the Ribbono Shel Olam. And therefore, says the Gemara, Hilkach Tzarech Lemeimra Me'uma. Therefore, Kiddush Levana must be recited in an erect position, because we have to have Kavod HaShechina, because we're having a conversation with the Shechina itself, and therefore we should stand up out of respect to the Shechina. Remember, as a child, my father, whenever we said Kiddush Levana, he would ask me every single month, what's the halacha? Do you have to stand for Kiddush Levana or not? I never knew the answer. I just knew when you come out of shul, you say Kiddush Levana. So he would ask me every month, and I was wondering, how does he expect me to know the answer? I never knew the answer, and he said, okay, think about it. It wasn't until I got older, and he continued to ask me the question every month, and finally I understood the words that I was saying. I said, hey, it says in the Kiddush Levana the answer. So he said, yeah, that's what I was wondering. At what age are you going to understand the words that you're saying? So that was what we, that's the way my father was mechanech me, okay? So over here the Gemara says that that Kiddush Levana is the opportunity for us to have a Kabbalas Pnei HaShechina, to have a conversation with the Shechina itself. And Rav Soloveitchik was fond of pointing out that the Gemara says that whenever a person is Lifnei Hashem, whenever a person finds themselves in the presence of the Shechina, that is supposed to evoke an emotion of Simcha. As the Gemara says in Chagiga, Ein Atzivus Lifnei HaMakom. There is no such thing as being sad, as being depressed, as having any sort of despondency in the presence of the Shechina, because whenever a person is in the presence of the Shechina, that in and of itself should evoke a tremendous amount of simcha. A person should feel comfort in the fact that the Shechina is with you, that you're always together with the Shechina, that you have a relationship with the Shechina. And I believe that perhaps that's the reason why by Kiddush Levana as well, we have this requirement of being besimcha at the time of Kiddush Levana. Again, because we have a chance to sit with the Shechina and have a conversation, to stand with the Shechina and have a conversation, so therefore, we have to make sure that we're in the frame of mind of simcha. The Gemara says in Moed Katan that when you have a Kohen Gadol who suffers a private loss, and really he's supposed to be sitting Shiva, the Gemara says, Kol Hashana Kula, for the Kohen Gadol is Keregel Dami. The whole year is considered like Yom Tov for him, which means, even if he loses a relative, he doesn't go ahead and sit Shiva. It's like Yom Tov for everybody else. The same way if anyone else, Rachmana Litzlan, would have a loss of a relative over Yom Tov, they wouldn't sit Shiva. So too for the Kohen, it's considered like Yom Tov all year long. He doesn't sit Shiva either. And the question is why? So if Soloveitchik explained, the reason why is because the Rambam says, Kvodo v'sifartu shel ha-Kohen Gadol, the greatness of the Kohen Gadol is that he should sit in the Makom HaMikdash all day long, all year long, and just enjoy the presence of the Shechina in the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, explained Rav Soloveitchik, because he's always supposed to be in the presence of the Shechina, therefore for him it's always like Yom Tov. For us, we only have three times a year that we have an opportunity to go and do Aliyah L'Regel. So for us, Yom Tov is the one-time experience, three times a year, that we have to be in the presence of the Shechina. But for the Kohen Gadol, it's something that he has every single day, and therefore if he suffers a private loss, we assume that he will never have an Avela set in, because for him, it is always considered like the exciting experience of Yom Tov itself. This is also why the Rama ends off that halach, and he says that we have the minhag not to recite Kiddush Levana before Yom Kippur. Again, because before Yom Kippur, we're a little bit agitated, we're a little bit anxious, we're nervous, we don't know what's going to be, but after Yom Kippur, we feel a sense of closeness, we feel a sense of connection to the Ribono Shel Olam, and that's the time when we're supposed to be b'simcha, because Lecha Chal b'simcha l'achmecha, ki kvar ratza Elokim es ma'asecha. It's the same idea that after the experience of Yom Kippur, we have now become closer to the Ribono Shel Olam, which is supposed to make us feel in a state of simcha, and that's the time that we're able to say Kiddush Levana in the proper way. We have a Gemara in Baba Basra, where the Gemara says that the Navi Echa, the Megillas Echa, was written by the Navi Yirmiah. Yirmiah wrote that, and the Gemara tells us a description of exactly what took place. So I saw one of the Mefarshim ask a very simple question, that why is it that Yirmiah had a right to do this Nevuah? How was it that Yirmiah was able to profess a Nevuah at the time that we know that he was in a terrible state of despondency? He was in a terrible state of depression, because after all, he was going through the experience of the Churban Beis HaMikdash, and this is what Megillas Eicha is describing. So how was he able to do that? Don't we know the Gemara says, Ein HaShechina Shora Lo Mitoch Atzvus. The Shechina cannot come to a place where there is sadness. Ein Atzivus Lefnei HaMakom, like we mentioned before. So how was Yirmiah HaNavi able to write the Navi? How was he able to write the Megillas Eicha if, after all, he was not in the proper frame of mind? The Rambam quotes us Lahalacha in Yisori HaTorah that a Navi does not have a right to give Nevuah at a time when he is not in a state of Simcha. So this is a question that's asked by a number of Achronim. Rabbi Yonasan Ibishitz has it in his drushas, and others have it as well. But one suggestion that's given is the following. That yes, it's true when a regular person has a state of despondency, when a regular person is found in a state of depression, that's not a opportunity for the Shechina to be with you. And at the time that the Shechina is with you, you cannot have those kinds of feelings. However, when you're dealing with a Navi, when you're dealing with those who bring hope to the Jewish people, they know that even through the darkest times, they know that even when it's a very depressing time, they still feel some sense of simcha, because they can look beyond all that's going on and they're able to see why there is some kind of bracha that's hidden behind everything that we see with the naked eye. And that's why the Navi Yirmiah, although he was going through the terrible decree, although he was living through the terrible time of Churban, he was still able to have a nevuah because he was not at a state of despondency. He did not give up on life. He didn't give up on the Jewish people. He felt, even though we may have been kicked out of the Beis HaMikdash, even though there might be a lot to be depressed about, but after all, I'm still able to find myself in a state of simcha because I still have so much to be happy about. I still realize that the Ribono Shel Olam showers us with brachas even at a time when we feel very down, even at a time when we have terrible destruction. That's the greatness of the Jew. That's the greatness of the Jewish people, that we always are able to find somehow, somewhere, a positive spirit even at the worst of times. And we're always able to be optimistic and to have anticipation and to give hope to a greater future, because we know that the Ribono Shel Olam is with us even through the terrible darkness. We all know, Kol Demada Aver Rachmana L'Tavav, it's not just a statement, it's something that so many Jews lived by over all the crusades throughout our history. We've had so many Jews who really lived by that principle, that they found the goodness in everything that was going on. There's a passage in the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says, Amar Rabbi Shimon Levi, Im yomer lecha adam ayehu elokecha. If somebody will come and ask you, where is your God? And this is a question that's been asked so many times, ayeh elokecha, where is your God? It can't be, he's here. How is it possible he allows a churban to take place? How is it possible he allows all the terrible desecration of the Jewish people. How could it be? Ayei Elokecha. And more though, you should tell him, Bikrach HaGadol Sheberomi. You should tell him he is found in the big palace in Rome. Now what exactly does that mean? A cryptic statement. Somebody asks you, where is God? You'll tell him he's in the palace in Rome. What do you mean? He built himself a palace in Rome instead of in the Beis HaMikdash. What does that mean? So none other than Rav Shlomo Teichtal, who was the great tzaddik who lived through the Churban of Europe. He lived through the Shoah. He wrote an incredible sefer, Eim HaBanim Smecha. He was a great leader of the Jewish people. He had a very interesting story on his own of what his life trajectory was, but he was somebody who suffered through the horrors of the Holocaust, and yet he explained pshat in this Yerushalmi as follows. He said, if somebody will come and ask you, Ayei Elokecha, he said, you're living through a churban like the churban that I'm living through. You're living through a Holocaust like I'm experiencing right now. And many people ask, Ayei Elokecha. Many people say, how could it be that God is here? It doesn't make sense. And Marlo, you should tell him that God is able to be found Bikrach HaGadol Sheberomi. In the palace of the enemy itself that's coming to destroy you, God is there as well. I can look with my own eyes and I can find that amongst all the horrors of everything that's happening, amongst everything that we're experiencing, said Reb Shlomo Yehuda Teichtal on his own, who lived through all the terrible desecration, who lived through all the terrible massacres of the Jewish people, he said, I can tell you with confidence that I am able to find the presence of the Shechina even in Hitler's own home. I can find it even in the enemy's own home, even in their own palace. I see the chesed, I see the greatness, even though at face value it seems like there's so much terrible desecration going on. Somehow I'm able to see beyond it, and I see the great kindness of the Ribono Shel Olam. It's hard for any of us to say who haven't lived through such horrors, and we never should, but it's a very incredible statement of faith that Rav Teichtal was able to give over, that he saw it, he was able to feel it. There were some who went through the Holocaust, not to be blamed, but they said, we didn't see the hand of God. We were not able to understand where he was. And it's a very valid question. It's a very serious question. But Rav Teichtal said his experience was, although he suffered tremendously, his experience was that he was able to see it. He's Bikrach Gadol Sheberomi. If you look hard enough, Rav Teichtal taught us, you're able to find him even in the enemy's capital, even in their palace. That's where he's hiding, even at times like that. Rav Asher Weiss is fond of saying that the highlight of our davening every day is when we recite the Kedusha. The Gemara says tremendous things happen when we say Kedusha. And that is comprised of two very fundamental psukim. Number one, we say Kadosh, 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 Hashem Tzevakos, Meloch ala Aretz Kivado. And then we say Baruch Kivod Hashem Imekamo. So these were said by two different Nevi'im. Kadosh, Kadosh was said by the Navi Yeshaya. And the other pasuk of Baruch Kivod Hashem Imekamo was said by the Navi Yecheskel. And the Gemara tells us that the same Nevuah, the same Nevuah that Yecheskel was able to see was the Nevuah that Yeshaya HaNavi was able to see. So Rav Asher Weiss suggested perhaps what the Gemara means to be teaching us is that their Nevuahs were interchangeable. Their Nevuahs were identical. And even though they were living in distinct circumstances, even though they were living at very different times, you think about the lifetime of Yeshaya HaNavi. He's living through a time when the Shechina's presence was palpable. He was living at a time when it was transparent, when it was evident to anybody. Living in a time of the Beis HaMikdash, living in a time of the glory of the Jewish people, there was nobody who questioned. It was unequivocally obvious that God was here, that God was with us, that he had a relationship with us. That was the Navi Yeshaya, and this is why he responds, Meloch ala aretz kevodo. Everywhere I turn, I see the presence of the Shechina. It's so obvious. It's glaringly obvious to anyone who looks. The Shechina is right here. It's transparent. There's no question about it. That's the Navi Yeshaya, and that's the vision that he has. But the Gemara tells us that the very same vision that he had is the Navi that Yecheskel had as well. The Nevuah that Yecheskel has is, Baruch Kivod Hashem Mimakomo. Yes, it's true, we're living through a state of Churban. We're living at a time of Churban Beis HaMikdash, a time of desecration. That's the lifetime of Yecheskel. But at the same time, he says, yes, we see Mimakomo. He's only in his place. He's not Meloch Al Haaretz Kivodo. Everybody is not able to experience the presence of the Shechina at a time like this. But yet, he says, it is the same Nevuah happening at both times. Kol Shera Yecheskel Ra Yeshaya. Whatever presence of the Shechina Yeshaya was able to see, Yecheskel was able to see as well, because they were able to find a positive spirit even at a time of loss, even at a time of destruction. They taught us that the Ribono Shel Olam is there as well. He's Meloch Al Haaretz Kevodo. Sometimes he's Baruch Kevod Hashem Mimakomo. Sometimes he's only hidden in his own place. But if you look hard enough, you'll find him even at those times as well. That's what the Navi Yecheskel teaches us, and that's perhaps what the Gemara means to say, that the Navi Yecheskel and the Navi Yeshaya had identical Nevuahs to one another. So we generally, I think, have the practice to follow the Ramah, that we do not do Kiddush Levana until after Tisha B'Av is over. And then there's a further discussion, should we do it on Matzei Tisha B'Av or not? So some say, well, Matzei Tisha B'Av is still an inappropriate time because you're still having Avelis on the Churban Beis HaMikdash. However, many Achronim argue that, no, right away after Tisha B'Av is over, we should go ahead and recite Kiddush Levana immediately on Matzai Tisha B'Av. Again, the Mishnah Berurah writes, even if you're going to do that, you should change your shoes. You shouldn't say it in the state of mourning. But at the same time, many Achronim argue that we should recite the Kiddush Levana immediately after Tisha B'Av is over. This is, I know my father has that practice. He does it right away after Tisha B'Av. He doesn't wait till the next night. Again, because we're running out of time. We don't have that much time after Tisha B'Av until we're going to be able to say Kiddush Levana again. So this is something that we should be cognizant of, we should be careful about. Just to end off, we have one of the things that we say in our Kiddush Levana is a very strange kind of tefillah. We have an opportunity once a month to have an encounter with the Shechina. And you would think that if you have this experience once a month to have a conversation with the Shechina, you should save it up to have a very serious talk with the Ribbono Shel Olam. Hey, there are so many people suffering from cancer. I think this is a good time to daven that Ribbono Shel Olam, please, mi berapei olacholim. There are so many people who are unemployed. There are so many tzoros in the world. So many horrible things going on. Why don't we use the opportunity of Kiddush Levana to daven that all these terrible things should stop? What do we ask for? The one thing that we ask for seems to be something that is so inconsequential, something that none of us really care about. What do we say? Yehi ratzon. We have one request at this time that we have an encounter with you. You know what it is? Please. L'malas pegimas ha'levana. You know, it really hurts me that the levana, that the moon is sitting there and it's only a little sliver. I just hope that you're going to be able to fill it up. It really bothers me. Every time I look up at the sky, l'malas pegimas ha'levana, terrible. How can we allow ourselves to look at the moon like that? So we ask the Ribbono Shel Olam, please have rachmanis on the moon. It's so horrible what the moon is going through. Really, this is what you're going to waste the chance to talk to the Ribbono Shel Olam about? This is what you're going to talk to him? That's really on your mind? I don't know anyone that ever thinks about that. So why is it that we waste, so to speak, the opportunity of Kiddush Levana to talk about something that none of us care about? We have so many more important things to talk about. So my father told me over once in the name of Rav Soloveitchik, and then he said Rav Aaron Soloveitchik said it also in his own way, that perhaps the idea is as follows. You look, we have a Gemara, Rashi quotes it on Chumash, that at the beginning of creation, the Ribbono Shel Olam created Shnei HaMa'oros HaGdolim. He creates a sun and a moon, both of them were supposed to serve the very same capacity. They're both supposed to give light. And the moon comes to the Ribbono Shel Olam and says, Ein Shnei Malachim, you can't have two kings serving at the same time. It's just not going to work. Can't have two rabbis serving in a shul at the same time. You can't have two kings. It just doesn't work. It never works. So this is the exception to the rule. It's true. So, what? What did you say? So
the rabbis have to remember that.
The rabbis do remember that. So the question is, the moon comes along and says, how is it possible you put a sun and a moon in the world? They're both supposed to have the same tafkid. They're both supposed to be in charge of the world, giving light. It's not going to work. It's impossible. It never works. So how could it be? The Ribbono Shel Olam says, yeah, you're right. It's true. Therefore, I'm going to be memayit you. I'm going to make you smaller. So why is that fair? What did the moon do wrong? The moon didn't do anything wrong. The moon asked a very simple and obvious question. The moon is correct. It's not possible to ever have Shnei Malachim doing the same job. You can never have two people in charge. Two CEOs of a company never works. The company is going to implode. So the moon is correct. So why is the moon punished? What did the moon do wrong? And this, said Rav Soloveitchik, is the age-old question of Tzadik V'Ralo. You have somebody who seems to be living a perfect life, who's not doing anything wrong, who's doing everything that's expected of them, everything that's asked of them, and yet so often they're suffering, so often they're punished. Why is it that the Tzadikim suffer? Why is it fair? This is the question that we have of the moon. Yehi ratzon, we ask the Ribbono Shel Olam on this experience of Kiddush Levana every single month, we ask them the most profound philosophical question that's been bothering us forever. And that is, why is it that Tzadik V'Ralo? Why is it that good people suffer? Why is it that you can have the moon, and the moon is doing its job faithfully, it's doing exactly what it's supposed to do, it registers a question that makes a lot of sense, it's not challenging the Ribbono Shel Olam, it's just doing its job naturally, the way it's supposed to be doing it. And yet, Tzadik V'Ralo, the moon gets punished for no good reason. We have no understanding. It really doesn't make sense to us. This is what we ask the Ribbono Shel Olam. Please, bring us to the time, at the time of Kiddush Levana, when we have an encounter with you, when we're able to ask you anything, we ask you the most profound question that's been bothering all of us forever. L'malos pegimas ha'levana. Fill in those gaps. Bring us to a time when we no longer will have to wonder, why is it that there is loss in the world? Why is it that people suffer? Why is it that we don't have clarity, and why is it that tzaddikim so often don't seem to be given their fair share of what they really deserve in this world? And this is really a very serious tefillah, and it's something to consider when we daven l'malos pegimas ha'levana. It's something very, very important to keep in mind, that we want that the Ribbono Shel Olam should bring an end to all of our suffering, but this is the time to ask for it. We ask that all that we wish for, that all that we want in our lives and in the lives of so many others should be malay, it should be full, it should be something that shouldn't be sliced off anymore, just like the Levana is sliced, it should be something that's a whole, And that's really a very profound tefillah of Lemalas Pegimus Halavani. Yehi Ratzon Shenizkeh. We should have the opportunity that this year Tisha B'Av should be changed, L'Sason U'L'Simcha L'Madim Tovim, and we should have the experience of Lemalas Pegimus Halavani, that we should no longer have any questions, we shouldn't have any more suffering, we should know that the Ribbono Shel Olam is here with us, that there's always hope, that there's always anticipation, and that the Ribbono Shel Olam will continue to shower us with His bracha, with His blessing. La'ad u'la'omei olamim. I wish everyone a wonderful...